A Benton diary. Sleep after toil, port after stormy seas, ease after war, death after life, doth greatly please. And that's from Edmund Spenser's Fairy Queen, Book One. This long hot summer readily recalls many memories of that other famous long hot summer of my lifetime, the summer of 1976. It was the year of my graduation. It was the year of ABBA's anthem to Disco Dancing Queen. It was the summer of Dayville's 32 flavour of ice cream shops that swept aside the tubs of Raspberry Ripple and blocks of Neapolitan from a post-war ice cream world dominated by Lion's Maid and Walls. It was the year of Bjorn Borg's first Wimbledon title, the Nordic cool overwhelming the fiery temperament of the immensely talented Elina Stasi in three sets. I was something of a Wimbledon addict in those days. My finals year was also my first year at the Devonshire Ball in Leeds. Not quite those glittering summer balls of Oxford and Cambridge, but it was a black tie affair in a world that was very much floral shirts and tight trousers in exotic fabrics like velvet and satin. And suddenly men wore shorts everywhere. Holiday madness became every day. There was to be no going back. There was the inevitable hosepipe ban, but water supplies dwindled to a point where, as I left Leeds that hot summer, standpipes had appeared in streets. Then, as now, farmers struggled with failing crops and thirsty livestock, while in heathland and woodland, fires broke out in the tinder-dry conditions. Roads softened in the heat, reservoirs fell to alarming levels, and even the smallest signs of cloud were greeted with hope of benevolent rain gods. For all that, the summer of 1976 was remembered with a kind of golden nostalgia. Long school holidays, outdoor games, endless picnics, crowded beaches, and evenings spent outside in the warmth. Relief finally came in late August and September, when rain returned and the parched lands began slowly to recover. By then, however, the summer of 1976 had secured its place of one of the defining weather events of modern Britain. A season of beauty and hardship, remembered both for its dazzling sunshine and for the serious strain it placed on communities, agriculture and water supplies. And in that melee, somehow, I sat my multiple examination papers, knowing then far, far more than I can now easily recall. And so I graduated with honours, as they said in those distant times. The late Duchess of Kent bestowed my degree, and the history prize I'd somehow won, without realising there was a glittering prize to be gained. My mum was very proud. And so the golden summer was for me gilded with other golden memories. 1976 was also the year of the death of Agatha Christie. The quote above from Spenser was a favourite of hers, and it is on her monument in Cholsey Churchyard, where pilgrims still lay flowers. That walk through Cholsey Churchyard is a favourite of both Milo and Finn, and every time we pass by, I fondly remember the Queen of Mystery, who began her reign in my heart in that same year of 1976. I discovered Agatha Christie rather by accident. My sister and mum had read her, of course, and I was equally aware of Margaret Rutherford's portrayal of Miss Marple. To continue, that June I had travelled down to Cornwall, Port Isaac, in the middle of my finals to spend 5 nights between papers with mum and my sister. I was rereading Jane Austen, but I finished Sense and Sensibility during the holiday. I needed something other than revision, and I picked up a Marple mystery and W.H. Smith in Exeter Station before setting off to Leeds. I was quickly hooked. In a year or so, I had read all her books. I satisfyingly found I could finish a novel on a long train journey from home in Maidenhead to Leeds. I could read all the Marple novels first, and it took a couple of other mysteries before I managed my first Poirot. Thinking back to those many train journeys, I can still feel the thrill of trying to work out who'd done it. The Queen of Mystery often defeated me. I'm writing still in the high summer days of this long hot summer. It has felt hotter than that of 76. Maybe time plays her tricks, and maybe youthful me was more adaptable yesterday than I am today. Those early blasts of heat in late May were profoundly unpleasant. I must admit, it hasn't felt quite as bad since. I found a routine in getting the dogs out shortly after 6 in the morning. Warbur is quiet then, save for our barking mad spaniels, but they love it. There's been plenty to see these early mornings, blessed by blue serenity and golden sun. The harvest of what often seems to be dwarf varieties of common cereals came and went in July. Nor did bales of hay, quickly made up in the fields as soon as wheat and barley were cut down, linger very long. There's been a generous scattering of blowsy sunflowers seeded from last year's crop between Benson and Warborough. They look as heliotropes must towards the sun that has been king of the sky these long summer days. Outside the village, our countryside, its rolling hills and open fields are in morning light white gold. And by afternoon their golden glory comes, and as dusk settles, this reflected glory lightens the landscape, even as the day's length has become their decline into autumn. Hedgerow fruits have also come early, but many have not survived the drought. Blackberries look like currants. Apples are like red and green ping-pong balls rolling on the straw grass. We did get a magnificent crop of loganberries in late May and early June. We've got a handful of large peaches too this year, and grapes upon the vine, ready for jelly making, not for wine, and above all, in their greatest, sweetest glut, fragrant figs. The summer of 1976 has passed into folk memory as the year when the sun seemed never to set and the rain forgot to fall. I was young then. I hope others will fondly remember this summer of 2026 as fondly. I fear that may be but the fond and foolish musings of old age. And it finishes with a poem. The faithful night now grew in little space by hearing her and by her sister's law to such perfection of all heavenly grace that wretched world he gan for to abhor. And that was by John Murphy.